Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Nedarim Samach Kimo. We are holding on Samach Beis Amid Beis at the fourth line from the bottom of the Amid. A fellow says, I'm going to be off of wine. I'm making a neder against wine until Geshamim. So he says, Ad HaGeshamim. Or he says, Ad Sheyehyu Geshamim. Now, typically, there's a difference between saying just plain Ad, like Ad HaPesach, which means until the arrival of the Yom Tov Pesach, as opposed to Ad Sheyehyu Pesach, which will include the actual Pesach Yom Tov, until Pesach is through, until it's over. That's because Pesach is an example of an event which is, it's a set event, it's a predictable event. But if it's an unpredictable development, such as rain, there, whether you say Ad HaGeshamim or Ad Sheyehyu Geshamim, it doesn't matter. You're not going to commit yourself to an open-ended obligation, and therefore in this case it is only active up until and not including that event. Okay, so knowing that, we have Shitas Tanakamo, who says Ad HaGeshamim means until it starts raining, right? Until the winter rains arrive. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you don't need to wait till the actual rain arrives. Suppose there's a delay. There's a drought. It means the zman of Geshamim. The season. When rain typically arrives. And by the way, when we speak about rain, it's Revi'ah Shniyah, the second cluster of rains, as we're going to see soon in the Gemara. So the primary rain season was split into three portions. The rain season is regarded as Revi'ah. It encourages growth, it enables the tzmicha of the ground. So within that rain season, we have three parts, three portions. Revi'ah Rishonah, the early rains. Revi'ah Shniyah, those are the main, you know, middle rains. And then we have Revi'ah Shlishis, the lingering rains. We're going to see in a minute when each one falls out. But bottom line is, Tanakama holds, Ad HaGeshamim means Ad Sheyehyu Geshamim. Sorry, Ad HaGeshamim or Ad Sheyehyu Geshamim, either way, means Ad SheTered Revi'ah Shniyah, until the actual rain arrives, that middle rain. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, no, Ad Sheyehyu Zman Shel Revi'ah, you don't actually have to have rain. When the Zman of rain arrives, that is the culmination, that is the termination, the conclusion of the nether. When does Tanakama maintain you need to actually be faced by that rain? Da'omar Ad HaGeshamim. That's if he says Ad HaGeshamim. That's an enhanced expression and includes the actual rain arriving. Aval Omar Ad HaGeshem. But suppose he says simply, you know, until the rain, Ad HaGeshem. Even Tanakama agrees that in this case we say Ad Zman Geshamim, until the rain season arrives, the time where it typically rains. But it doesn't actually have to start raining. Ad Zman Geshamim Kamar. Meisve, here comes Akasha. We're going to try to prove otherwise. That even by saying Ad HaGeshem, Tanakama would insist the rain has to actually come about. This is a Mishnah in Tanis. What are the various zmanim with respect to rain? Habachira, the early rains, are meant to come begimel, on the third day of Cheshvan. Ha-beinonis, the mid-rain, b'shiva, on day seven of Cheshvan. Afela, the lingering rain, the last installment, comes b'esim reshloisha, day 23 of Cheshvan, divrei Meir. So it's 3, 7, and 23. Rabbi Daimer b'shiva, u'b'shiva asur, u'b'asim b'shloish. He pushes it off a bit. First rains come on day 7 of Cheshvan, then 17, and then 23. Rabbi Yomer, Bishiva Asr, Vesa Mishleisha. The first and second come day 17, day 23 of Cheshvan. Uber Rosh Chodesh Kislev, the third rains arrive on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. That's the, the standard zman when these rains are supposed to come, when the years run properly in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ikar rains of the season are these three revi'os, with their respective zmanim, based on these respective shittos. V'chein haya, Rabbi Yosi Omer. And likewise, Rabbi Yosi would say, Ein hayechidim. Yechidim are those individuals, those outstanding individuals. You tell me the chachamim, who take responsibility for the welfare of the Klal Yisrael. So they will not get up and stop fasting. Ein hayechidim misanim when there's a drought. Ad sheyageh Rosh Chodesh Kislev, until they experience Rosh Chodesh Kislev, which is the last chance for rain, and there's no rain on the horizon. They go and they fast, but until then they just wait patiently for the rains to come. So Rosh Chodesh Kislev would trigger fasting. Okay, end of discussion. The question is, what's the point of knowing, the first revi'ah, the second one, the third one? Any halachic, ramification here? We had a discussion about this Mishnah. I understand the point of discussing the first installment. That's when you start asking for rain. In the davening. Likewise, I fully appreciate the third installment, Shlishis, that's Lis Anais, which would indicate when it's time to start fasting, if there is no rain at that point. What's the point of discussing Revia Shania? Does it have any halachic, ramification? Yes. Vamar Bezera L'Neider. It corresponds to the nether, the halacha that we learned before. A person says, I'm not going to have my wine until Geshem, which is typically the lashon a person uses, Ada Geshem. Alas, until when the Revia Shania, the main, mid-rain, is supposed to come. Okay, we had another amendment, another elaboration on this halacha. The following brice, which presents a halacha, a concept in the name of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Whose shita is he following? Whose view is it consistent with? What does he say? Rav Shimon Gamliel Eimer, suppose you have a 7-day, continuous, unabated rain experience. You can sometimes have a 7-day uninterrupted rain, and it's going to incorporate two of those periods. You can count within it, you can include within it, the first Revi'ah, Ushni on the second one as well. So who amongst these three Tanoim, we have Rameh, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, who give us different, dates for the revi'os. According to who can you have a 7-day rain, which would include revi'ah, Rishon, and Shnia? Well, it doesn't work according to Rabbi Meir, because according to him, the first revi'ah is day 3 of Cheshvan, the second one is day 7, so it's less than 7. You don't need 7 days to include them. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the first one is 7 of Cheshvan, the second one is 17. It's more than 7 days. The only one left, the only option is Kiman Rabbi Yosi. According to Rabbi Yosi, it works. Because Revi'ah Rishon is day 17, Revi'ah Shnia is day 23. It's perfect. Now, the Ran explains that this statement that Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel makes is in terms of the Shitas Chachamim, meaning he himself personally will hold that when a person makes a nether up until the rain, you don't need to have actual rain. Zman is enough. So this halacha doesn't really pertain to him. Rather, this concept that a 7-day rain can be counted as Revi'ah Rishon and Shnia pertaining to Nedarim, that's with regard to the Tanakama, who holds that Ada Geshem means until the rain arrives. Which rain? The main rain. the mid-reign, Revi Yoshnia. Comes Rav Shimon Gamliel and tells us a chiddush. Even if it was an unabated, uninterrupted, continuous reign experience, starting from the first Revi'ah, going through 7 days. So even though there was no hefsek, it can be counted as Revi'ah Shnia as well. Well, don't think, you know, it's still part of the first reign. If it lasted 7 days into the second Revi'ah period, it spilled over into Revi'ah Shnia, it is now counted as Revi'ah Shnia. And the neder, which was meant to terminate at the point of Geshem, once the Revi'ah Shnia shows up, has not been fulfilled. Okay? That's a chiddush. But bottom line is, we're assuming that a person said Ad HaGeshem, which is, you know, the typical way of expression, until the rain, and still, we see clearly that according to Tanakam, you have to see rain. Because otherwise there wouldn't be any discussion of 7 days raining, all that. If it's just based on the date, it's date related, then once the date arrives, the nether is over. Apparently it is rain related. And you just told me that if he says Ad HaGeshem, all agree, you don't need rain, you need Zman, that's all. And says the Gemara, no. Ahudam Ad HaGeshem. Let's assume that he really said Ad HaGeshem here as well, which is not your typical expression, which is a ribuy, it's an elaboration, which means actual rain. So bottom line is, according to Rabbi Zeira, when a fellow says, another Ad HaGeshem, period, until the Zman of Geshem. Which Geshem? The Zman of Revi'ah Shnia. All agree to that. He says, HaGeshemim. Rabban and Shimon Gamliel says, until the Zman Geshemim. Whereas Tanakama says, well, you went a bit further than your typical. You said HaGeshemim, you mean the actual rains. So as soon as it arrives, nether is over. All agree you don't have to actually experience the whole rain season, as we explained before. Says the Mishnah, Koinum Yain, She'eni Toyim, and some Hagoyres Hashana. No wine for me this year. If it's Abra Hashana, turns out to be an extended year, a leap year, 13 months. Osur Bo Ubi Bura. He must abstain from wine throughout the entire year, including its leap month. What if he says Adrosh Chodesh, Adrosh Adar, until the beginning of Adar? And of course, it's a leap year with two Adars. Which one is it? Adar Rishon or Adar Shein? Ad Rosh Adar HaRishon. It means until the beginning of the first Adar. What if he says Ad Seif Adar, until the end of Adar, and it turns out to be a leap year? The end of which Adar? Ad Seif Adar HaRishon. Likewise, the end of Adar Rishon. Alma, says the Gemara, apparently, Stomad Adar. An undefined Adar, just Stam Adar, the Ka'amar. When a person just says, you know, Adar, without elaborating, and there is a choice of two, Rishon Hu. It is a reference to the first Adar. Leima Mas Nisan, Rabbi Yehudi. Apparently, our Mishnah is in line with only Rabbi Yehuda, who likewise labels the first Adar as the Stam Adar, as the main Adar, and considers Adar Sheni as the supplemental Adar. The Sani Adar Rishon. A person sitting down to write a document. And he wants it, you know, to be dated based on the first Adar of a leap year. He has to define, he has to specify. Kursiv Adar Rishon. He has to actually write it out. You can't just assume. He has to write Adar Rishon. But Adar Sheni. Suppose he's referring to the second Adar. You don't have to elaborate. You don't have to explain. Kosev Adar Stam. Just write Adar plain. Divrei Rav Meir, because according to Rav Meir, which one is the primary Adar? The one that you read the Megillin, you keep the Purim in. That's Adar Shein. In fact, as Tosis points out, when you have a leap year, the first Adar is a 29-day month, which isn't typical for Adar. Apparently that's the supplemental. That's the add-on. The main Adar is Adar Shein, according to Rav Meir. That's not like our mission. Rabbi Yudaimer, Adar Rishon Kesef Stam, just the opposite. A plain, generic Adar is Adar Rishon. So if you want the Shtar to be applied to Adar Rishon, just write Adar. You don't have to elaborate further. like our Mishnah. Adar means Adar Rishon. That's the main Adar. The second one is the add-on. Adar Sheni, Kosef Tinyan. If you want the Shtar to be applied to the second Adar, explain, elaborate, specify Adar Sheni. So perhaps our Mishnah, which tells us that when it comes to Nadar, when a fellow says, no wine until Adar, it means the first Adar. Apparently that's Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Meir, who considers Adar Beis as the main Adar. Amar Abaye, no, afilu tamei Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah can be fully compatible even with Rabbi Meir. Ha, the other, the Mabershata. What Rabbi Meir tells us in the Brice, the main Adar is Adar Sheni. That's when he knew that he's faced with two Adars. So he's sitting down to write a shtar, and he knows this is going to be a leap year. In this case, certainly, Stam Adar is the main primary standard Adar, which is Adar Sheni. But now Mishnah, he didn't know. Hadala Yada. He had no clue. It's Hanukkah time. And he says, no wine until Adar. He had no idea it's going to be a leap year. So in his mind, he didn't mean to include an extra month. So of course, in this case, you can't push him past Adar Rishon. But Tanya, as we find in the Brisa as well, Adar Chodesh Adar, a person makes a neder until Rish Chodesh Adar, Adar Chodesh Adar Rishon. It goes until the first Adar, and no further. If it turns out that it's a leap year, Adar Chodesh Adar Sheni, then it extends until the second Adar. 1 second. Mechlal the Rish Alav Mubaris Askinan. So the Brisa says, well, if it was a leap year, it changes the rules of the game. But in the first case, where it wasn't a leap year, it goes until the first Adar. Well, obviously, if there's no leap year, then you only have one Adar. What do you mean to say? Oh, apparently we're speaking, of course, that it was a leap year in both cases. The difference between case one and case two is, Shema mino, hada pshita le dema abrishona, shato. In case B, it means to say that he knew, he was aware of the fact that it's going to be a leap year. And this is Rameir speaking, so when he knew that it's going to be a leap year and he says Adar, he meant Adar Sheni, which is the main Adar. Hadala Yada, in case one. Of course it was a leap year, but he didn't know yet. It was a recent development. So when he made the Neder, well in advance of the Adar month, not knowing it's going to be a double Adar, and he says Adar Shchedesh Adar, of course in that case, it stops at the first Adar. It's exactly as we explained our Mishnah. So the bottom line is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you have a leap year with two Adars, what's considered the main one? The first one. Whether he knew about it, whether he didn't know about it, the first one is the main Adar, because that's your standard Adar. The second one is the add-on, which needs to be labeled Adar Shein, but Stam Adar is Adar Rishon. According to Rabbi Meir, if he's expecting a double Adar, and he says Adar, that's Adar Sheni, that's the main one. If it comes to him as a surprise, like by a neder, of course he didn't mean to go past Adar Rishon. Here comes a gevald gechilish abida Eimer, says the Mishnah. Koinam yayin sheni toim ad sheya Pesach. No wine for me until Pesach is here. Now typically, ad sheyehe means until we experience the Yom Tov, until the Yom Tov is done. By wine, it's different. Dalet Gai says, he didn't mean to negate that. Of course not. Certainly. He meant only until, and not including the Leil HaSeder, where people drink wine. Why would he want to forgo that mitzvah? Of course, that wasn't included in his neder. Now, of course, if he specifically specifies no wine for me throughout Pesach, you can't ignore his commitment. But here he used a arbitrary lashon. He said, "Achiyeh Pesach," which typically is interpreted as meaning including the Yom Tov. But here, we interpret it otherwise. Here comes another example. Amar koinim basar she'ini toim achiyeh atzoim. No meat for me until the grand fast day, until Yom Kippur. Can he have meat in honor of Yom Kippur? They would sit down on Erev Yom Tov and celebrate. It was the Yom Tov, look, Yom Machilah V'Slichah is coming up. They were treated as a Yom Tov. Says the Mishnah, you're right. He can have meat on that day. Ein Asr Ela Ad Leili Tzayim. He's only Asr on meat until Erev Yom Kippur. That's how the Ran learns. And the Mefarish says, even the night before, Leili Tzayim. certainly didn't mean to go past Erev Yom Kippur, which is a day that people celebrate with meat. Why would you want to forego that celebration? Another example, Rabbi Yossi, who was the son of Rabbi Yehuda, added another twist. Even something which doesn't involve, you know, mitzvah min ha-Torah, a straight out mitzvah min ha-Rabbanan, something which is a takana, a minag, even that carries this element. Rabbi Yossi ibn Yoyim, Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, added another example. Koinim shum shani toyim, ashtei Shabbos. No garlic for me until Shabbos. It only lasts until and not including the Shabbos. Eine osur ela adlei the Shabbos. Why? He only meant until, you know, the time when people eat shum. It was the Takanas Ezra to have garlic on the night of Shabbos to enhance the oina. So that was left out of his commitment. And his mutter b'shum the night of Shabbos. Hay mil chaver. Reuben turns to Shimon. He says, "Look, you know, I don't want to just always take and take from you. I want it to be a reciprocatory relationship, a two-way friendship. Koinim b'shani nanalach. I'm making usher by way of koinim. Any ano from you, if you're not willing to take from me, imein at ba. If you don't come along, v'noitel v'necha, take for your kid. Kurecha shel chitin. Ushtei chavei shel yayin. A huge amount of wheat, 2 barrels of wine. Unless you do that, I'm not going to take anything from you." Does he have to stick to that commitment? No. There's an easy way out, even without getting a chacham involved. By Shimon, the intended recipient, telling Reuben the benefactor, "Look, you wanted to honor me. This is my honor. Turning down a gift sometimes is more honorable than accepting the gift. Why did you offer me this? To honor me. So, Kvoidi, this is my honor to turn down your gift. So we're done. We're even." It's as though he fulfilled his condition. Likewise, in a reverse case, Reuben tells Shimon, "You can never have an offer from me. I'm not just a giver. I'm not just a provider. Let's make it a two-way relationship. You can never have anything from me unless you provide my son with this type of provision. Is he stuck to it or not? There's no way out until he actually gives it." And the Ran points out that Rameya disagrees with the first kula as well. You have to actually carry out your condition. No, Avza, even in this case, there's an easy way out, even without getting a chacham involved. Because Reuben, who told this to Shimon, he told Shimon, "Look, you can't take from me unless you provide my son, unless I get from you." He can say, "Look, you know, I'm okay today. I don't need your stuff. Let's treat it as though I got it from you. The whole point was to provide. I'm okay." Says the Mishnah, still pressuring, you know, this fellow Reuven to marry the daughter of his sister's niece, which is actually a mitzvah. The Gemara Yevamah speaks about the fact that there's a close resemblance and personality between these people, so it leads to a successful shidduch. In those days, they married relatives, so that was the proposal, and they were pushing him to do it. And he was not interested. I'm making a neder, she can't have any enough for me forever. Nothing for me. Another example, a person is divorcing, and he says, my wife can't have any enough for me forever. Do we have to hold him to his word? Not necessarily. We don't take it literally. These women can have enough from him. He didn't mean that. You know what he had in mind? I don't want to marry them. But otherwise, he's not actually making any anah asr on them. Another example is a host was pressuring his guest to accept an invitation. Omar, and the guest was deferring, and he says, "Look, Omar, leave me alone. I'm not even standing foot in your house. I'm not even going to take a drink of water. Do we have to take it literally? Or is it just an exaggeration? Do we get a point? Yes. Mutar lekanos lebeisa, yivlishis menutzoyin. He's allowed to step foot in the guy's house. Have a drink. He didn't mean that. He meant a meal. I don't want to trouble you. Don't sit me down for a meal. Shlainas gavanze, elo l'shem achila v'shtei. He meant, don't sit me down for a meal. But otherwise, taking a walk through his house, taking a drink of cold water, that's not what he had in mind. That would be mutter. Okay, so what did we learn? The first Mishnah, we had a fellow making a nether ad the rain season. So when he says ad ha-geshem, all agree it's the Zman Geshem. Which Geshem? The Revi'a Shnia, the mid-rain portion there. So the Zman of Revi'a Shnia is the end of the nether. When he says ad ha-geshemim, Tanakama is machadosh, it means the actual arrival of that rain. Once again, the Revi'a Shnia. What about no wine throughout the year? It includes the Shana Muberis as well. No wine until Adar. So, if he knew there was going to be two Adars, according to Rameir, it means until the second Adar. That's the Stam Adar. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it means the first Adar. That's the primary Adar. All agree, if he had no clue that there was another Adar in the works, his nether terminates the beginning of Adar Harisha. The Chiddush from Rabbi Yehuda and his son Rabbi Yossi, that when you make a nether, for instance, no wine until Pesach, even if you said Ashiyeha Pesach, which typically includes that target date, it's up until not including Leila Seder. When it comes to meat, it's not including Erev Yom Kippur. When it comes to garlic, not including Leil Shabbos. We have two examples of a gift proposal, which can be turned down without any repercussion. We had a fellow making a nether against the marriage. It's not really Hanor related, it's marriage related. And this fellow doesn't want to trouble his host for a full meal, but of course, there's a lot to come in. Lebeisa v'lishtes menu soinin. Hadra aloch konim yayin. Much atzlacha to you and b'suris teves.